At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Farmers grow vegetables, raise cattle for beef, grow cotton, and raise sheep for wool so that you have beautiful clothes and delicious food. But for some farmers, there's another purpose. Community. Growing a community. Supporting and knitting together a community. Now, I believe that one potentially unintended impact of every small farm is a stronger, healthier community. But some make a point of it more than others. You will see what I mean in a minute when you meet Charmaine LaFortune, an urban farmer in the city of Newark, New Jersey, who farms vegetables at her Giving 1/10 garden on two formerly vacant lots in the middle of a bustling, diverse urban center. Horns honking, sirens blaring, dogs barking. Here, a community, a family of neighbors, grows. Welcome to Talk Farm to Me. This is what we do here. I talk farm with a farmer so you can talk farm with your friends and family. Every episode is an invitation to get to know a farmer you would never otherwise meet. You will find that you have more in common with farmers than you think. And that's the point. We are all one here. We need each other. Farmers need us. Never forget that. And we need farmers every single day for food, for fuel, for fiber for our clothes, and for community. Talk Farm to Me is an important part of the For Farmers movement, which started because of talking farm with farmers all across the country about their lives and their struggles and realizing that to many people, like you and me, farmers are invisible. So Four Farmers was founded to change that, with a mission to see farmers, to tell their stories, to celebrate their accomplishments, and to support them in their challenges. In one of the seminal Four Farmers programs, we award grants to farmers across the country. Charmaine LaFortune and Giving 1/10 was in the first round of grantees in 2022. Four Farmers is still very proud of the decision to award her and her work the highest honor bestowed on her unanimously by a panel of dedicated volunteers. Here is her story.
I am an urban farmer in the city of Newark, New Jersey. I created this space. I would call it a holistic space because we grow food and we also have a open area where, you know, we have yoga that is taught. It has a gazebo this year. We finally had a gazebo installed. So it's shaded because the garden is full sun. And we do a lot of workshops that encourage our residents to grow food and help them to understand about the food that we grow and donate to them and how to prepare that food. So
how big is your Giving 1/10 garden?
It's very small, but it produces a lot of food. It's like 120 square foot. Two lots, actually, and we adopted these abandoned lots from the city of Newark about 6 years ago. So when I moved to the city, this has always been a dumping ground, and I really wanted to transform that. So I spoke to some of the neighbors, and we came together, and we cleared out the lot. Well, the city cleared out the lot, and then I adopted the lot personally and started with four donated grow boxes, and we didn't have funding. We had fundraisers to fence our garden. I paid an installment. It was crazy. But we were fortunate in the last 3 years to apply to the whole city's grant, and we were successful with that. So we got funding to improve our infrastructure, which is really good. So we were able to put a gazebo. We have a paved area. We have beds that are higher, so it will allow people with disabilities and challenges to actually garden and continue to garden basically what they love.
Tell me what you grow.
We try to grow food that is diverse to the community because we have a lot of West Indians. I'm Trinidadian, I'm a West Indian. We have a lot of African people within the neighborhood, some Hispanics from Puerto Rico.
I think you are getting the picture of Newark, but let me paint it a little more vividly for you. Newark is third on the list of the neediest cities in the United States. Third. It has a population of around 307,000 as of the 2021 census. 46% of that population is Black or African, 16% is Black Hispanic, and 13% is White Hispanic. 25.8% of the residents of Newark included in the census live below the poverty line, which is 13 percentage points higher than the national average. So, Giving One-Tenth sits in the center of the city, giving fresh food to its residents, growing that food, engaging neighbors in this growing of vegetables and of community.
So we grow bitter melon, cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, a variety of peppers, lots of herbs, long beans, eggplant. In the spring, we had all the cool crops. We had lots of lettuces, kale, collards, spinach, beets. And I just started another set of cool crops because the Greater Milk Conservancy wants to start a CSA. So I'm going to try to be part of that CSA.
Where does your experience come from?
I think growing up in Trinidad, my grandparents were farmers. And you don't realize as a child being part of that, you know, working with your grandparents and having that cross-generational relationship, you don't realize you're actually building a skill. And then you realize, oh, I know this. This is part of me. And I really like being outside in nature and working with dirt. I like gardening and I relax. And I think it's really creates a balance within me.
You said you donate the food that you grow. So where do you donate that?
At the garden. So I actually live diagonally from the garden. I'm actually looking out the window and I'm looking at the garden. So we have a program that I call Free Food Fridays. We started this like probably 3 years ago, actually during COVID. Well, just put food out, what we harvest on Fridays outside, and whoever's walking by in the community could take whatever for free. I have no restrictions on the quantity that could be taken. And I realized that it was successful. And then we just started increasing. You guys started sourcing food from different places. It just increased donation. Last year, someone reached out to me because they wanted to have a memorial at the garden for people who had lost their family during COVID. And her mom owns a paint shop. And I was telling her about the projects that I have still to implement. And they actually built a dry pantry box for me. So that was outside the garden. And I will put canned goods or any fresh produce that I will have in excess and just leave it for people to come by. Because what I realized is that my time frame doesn't sometimes align with a lot of the neighbors. So once it's out there, they have access to it 24/7 and they can take whatever they want. So I think accessibility is really key with donating food.
And tell me about your community a little bit. Like you said, obviously you've got some West Indian population in your area, but what's their, who are they and how are they responding to your garden?
Actually, at first people didn't understand because they've never seen anyone grow food or, you know, give something for free. They were in shock that, is it really free? And I was like, yes, it's free. Then they started to understand when they taste the food, they realize that, oh, this is not what we actually buy in the grocery store. It tastes so much different. Quality food lasts longer. It tastes better. They learn to appreciate it because they realize that this is really improving the community and it's reducing our food insecurity that we have within the neighborhood. But a lot of people, I personally realize now that they don't have access to fresh produce. Oh, if they do, the quality that they source is not really up to standard, my standard. And it shouldn't be eaten, or it should be eaten right away because it spoils really quickly. And I think having the garden and actually having the ability to give to the neighbors and the community, regardless of where you're coming from. You know it's healthy, you know it's organic, and it will just improve your health.
And do people also volunteer and work with you in the garden?
Yes. I call my volunteers my family now, because we've gotten so close. I think the volunteers that have come into Giving 110, we've created this family network. I really have some really strong relationships now because of the space. And there's so many people that have learned different skills just being in the space. Personally, like I said, I took things for granted that because I knew it, another person who was similar in age to myself would know it. And I've realized that that is not true. You really need to be more patient and give clear instructions, especially in the garden space, because what might be common is not common to all. So it's really exciting to see when someone learns a new skill that I could do this though. Like I have Nick and Pang who comes in. They've been coming again during COVID. COVID really opened up the space because this was a safe space for people to come in. And she was like, oh, I actually knew how to use a drill when we had to put up curtains in our apartment because I used to drill in the garden. I was like...
Yeah, they transfer those skills.
Yes, they did.
Tell me about the name, Giving 110.
So when I was deciding on names, I actually asked my sister. I had a few talks in mind, and then she said to me, why don't you name it Giving 110? And 110 for me means tithing. You don't need to give 100% of your time. You just need to give 10% of your time. And the blessings that return to you is much more than you've given. And you're not giving because you want to receive a blessing, but it just happens that way.
That's beautiful. You do something little for somebody and then it does, it comes back to you. So I love that.
Yes. And I could say this year in 23, my major grant that I've gotten, I wasn't successful this year with it, but I could say I've done a little more. I haven't built my infrastructure, but I have not dwindled on the donation. It hasn't decreased because of the loss of that grant. And for me, that really shows that, you know, once you're helping others and people see that you're genuinely giving and freely without wanting something back, people will actually reach out to you and say, oh, do you need this? You want to come pick this up? And I have a policy. I don't say no. That's a problem my partner has. I will say yes. Can you say no? So, it just keeps overflowing, and I just have to be thankful. I really have to be thankful.
To Charmaine and Giving 110 Garden, food is a central part. Growing the food and engaging community around that food, planting it, harvesting it, and sharing it. But the garden is also used to bring important services to the same community. Charmaine lost a brother this year and wants to make sure that the men in her community are getting important and helpful medical screenings.
What we're focusing on is health screenings. We're going to have Rutgers Cancer Mover Vehicle coming over, and they're going to do skin assessment, lung assessment, breast exam for females. And also, you know, I have a lot of informational material that I got from them in order to donate to the community so that they could be aware of some of the risks that we have, not just cancer, but just health risks just by some of the choices that we make in our food choice.
And you're contributing organic, delicious food.
Yes. That was really important to me, that the soil that we use is mushroom compost, which is really great. And I follow organic practices within the space. I have a warm compost. Also, I have a hot compost so next year we'll be pulling out all that compost and putting it directly back into the garden. So, and I do crop rotation just to make sure that the soil keeps rejuvenating by the food that grows on each bed.
Charmaine applied to 4 Farmers in 2022 for a grant to support growing towers in the garden. She was looking to maximize the tiny space by going vertical. Remember, it's 2 small, previously vacant lots in the middle of Newark.
And you got a grant to support the vertical pieces of the garden. How did that go?
That went well. I've learned those towers, they grow best with greens like lettuce, bok choy. The kale, we put it in there and it suffocated. It didn't grow well at all. and it got really hard really fast. So lesson learned. It was the first time. So those actually, we had at least three harvests from the towers on the lettuce that we had planted, so which was great. So with the seedlings that I, the seeds that I just placed in, I plan on transplanting some into those towers so that, you know, we have at least until the end of October, first week of November, and we'll actually have a harvest. So this is really good to increase our, you know, donation. I was so excited about that. I didn't even know who nominated me, which was really, when you contacted me, honestly, I was like, this must be a hoax because I didn't apply to help. So Marcellus is another gardener within the city of Newark who heard about your program, and he was the one who nominated us for your grant. And, you know, that's why I said the blessing goes around, because I've always been a support to him, and he's come into the space before he had his own garden and learned so much. And he's taken that knowledge that he's learned and transferred it over to his space. So he felt that it was necessary to recommend us for this grant. And I was, it came in at such a perfect time. It was just a miracle. It was a blessing at the right time, because I've wanted those towers for the last 2 years. And I'm like, okay, we're gonna get those. And I knew exactly what I was gonna spend that money on.
It's fantastic. It's really great. And I think it's great that, you know, you've tried it and you've learned some things and now you can do it again. It's part of the whole gardening and farming process for sure.
Yes. I've learned, like, okra, usually I grow it in a bed and I decide to grow it in a grow bag. They don't like growing in grow bags. So I learned that.
Gotta do what the okra likes.
Yes.
Now tell me, when you look out across your next year or so, what are your biggest challenges?
For me, I know I have to complete my 501c tree application, my nonprofit status, and I've been dragging my foot on this for the last 3 years also. I think funding wise, so we can move further, so we can increase more programming in our space, and also to be able to source more food and actually pay for the food that we donate to the community. I know a lot of people benefit from all the programming that we do within the garden. Once we have more funding, that will actually increase, you know, how much food we donate, how much programming we could actually do for the community over the next couple of years. So I would say the biggest challenge for me is funding. I really want to put, I have makeshift greenhouse on my space, and I think that's my only eyesore right now. I really want to make it more secure and have it more functional. My mission is always to increase the quality and the quantity of food that I provide to the neighborhood. So my vision is to have an opportunity to grow food year round. I already have a lot of hydroponic equipment. It's just I need to put power. My challenges are I have no power source on the garden space, and that I'm working on with an NGIT student came out 2 weeks ago and looked at the space, and he's going to speak to sports presses to see how they could help me install solar panels in that space, because I really want it to be off-grid.
The New Jersey Institute of Technology, NJIT, is the state's public polytechnic university and a leader in STEM education, research, economic development, and service.
Hopefully by next year spring, that should be up and running. Because once the beds are cleared out in the fall, I can install my drip irrigation and hopefully the solar panel should be up, all the electrical run. So,
well, I think that's your blessings coming back to you. You have, you know, nice relationships with your community that helps to build it.
It makes a big difference, yes.
Like you were saying about your grandparents, you don't really, you were just hanging out with your grandparents or your family, and this is what they were doing. And so you learn things. But imagine down the road, the people who have been a part of your garden, they aren't going to think about knowing it. They're just going to know it. And then someone's going to ask them where they learned it. And they're going to be like, wait a minute, I learned this at Giving 110 in my neighborhood. That's an amazing gift.
I think so. I always feel that, you know, what is the legacy that you're going to leave to your community of what you've done.
I feel pretty good about the odds for Charmaine to leave a lasting legacy, don't you? She has more than taken over two abandoned vacant lots full of debris in Newark, New Jersey, the third neediest city in all of the United States, and she has built a community of neighbors around healthy, accessible food that grows in that lot against all expectations. I will leave a link in the show notes to Giving One Tenth's Instagram, where her own sister tells her she must post more stuff. Maybe you'd like to visit the garden and see the towers that four farmers funded that are teaching Charmaine and the community about what likes to grow vertically, not kale, which I guess is good news if that's not your favorite veggie. And if you are so inclined and want to give them a boost, I am thinking about her greenhouse and how she'd like to be growing there year-round. You can send a donation to me as a part of Four Farmers via my Venmo at XOXO Farm Girl. I will leave you a link to that as well. Just say it's for Charmaine and Giving One Tenth, and I will match it and send it on. It could be a part of her continued blessings. She deserves them. Thanks for being here with me for another episode of Talk Farm to Me. I am talking farm, so you can talk farm too. This is important stuff. Food is where life begins and grows, and we need our farmers, small and big, to feel the love. Since you are here with me now, I hope you can participate in the continued success of this podcast by sharing it with a friend. That is always a great option. That's how it's grown from a small seed in 2019, certainly earlier as an idea. And that is how it will continue to thrive. I always love to hear from you, so if you'd like to reach out, you can find me at farmgirl at xoxofarmgirl.com or on Instagram at xoxofarmgirl. I am so easy to find. Until the next episode, next week, I am your host, Dana DePrima, and this is Talk Farm to Me.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America, NMLS 407249, Equal Housing Lender, loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.